After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions.
Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear, listen."
Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. They throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear, listen.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile."
But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you.
Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice.
"This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him."
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I chose that song because I think the images are so beautiful. Come away with me. It's this invitation to a quiet place, a place where we can be ourselves, a place where we can hear God, a place where we can connect with God and God can hear us. And I imagine Jesus sort of slowly walking up into the hills of Galilee, trying to get away from the throngs of people, trying to get a break from everything that he has been doing and sitting beneath a tree or kneeling on the ground. And then he says, "I'm doing this. Why don't you come with me? Come away with me." There are plenty of occasions in the Gospels where Jesus does go away for prayer. But there's a lot more examples of where Jesus attempts to go away for prayer. He is on his way and the crowds need him. And he feels like he cannot go. He must stay and be with the other people. He senses that his presence is needed. He senses that there is still so much to teach them. And his physical presence is going to be one part of their healing, both spiritual and physical healing. And so here are these beautiful words. But the reality is that Jesus, according to the way the Gospels tell the story, spent most of his time with people, teaching them, listening to them. And when he was teaching, as you heard, he started many of his stories and teachings with the word, "Listen." Listen, a sower went out to sow, he said. And many, many of his teachings ended with, "Let anyone who has ears listen." If you read the Gospels and you kind of read them out loud, you can get a sense that Jesus very often was frustrated with the disciples because they were listening to him, but they did not often hear him. They did not hear what he was really saying. He would say, "Do you hear but not perceive?" There was definitely some frustration. But he might ask us the same question today. Do you hear but not perceive? I think the strain to listen to Jesus' call is no easier today than it was then. And certainly the strain to listen to one another in Jesus' name may be one of the most difficult things that we would ever be asked to do. In the hills of Galilee, people had lots of things vying for their attention. But I don't think anybody has lived in a time like we have lived in, for the number of voices that are all around us. Our culture has so much noise everywhere that we have to learn to tune it out to even survive, don't we? It is just nonstop. There is a lot to hear, but there's very little to listen to. But the trouble with the tuning out is what we have lost in the process, and that is the ability to be truly present and listen to one another. To have ears to hear our neighbors, to be present and available to them as they tell their story. Not only to what they're saying, but what they're trying to tell us. To become a listener to each other's hearts. Because the truth is that when we listen to one another, we are listening to God. The question I would ask you is, do you believe that God longs to live among us and transform us? It's an important question. Do we know how to listen lovingly and tenderly to one another so that we might bring God into the conversation, that God can be part of our transformation? It is a struggle to listen to one another. Certainly Jesus knew that. He was constantly at odds with the disciples. Not only did they not listen to him, but they did not listen to the people around him. They were constantly arguing with the people who came to him or trying to send them away. They simply did not hear the stories that were going on. And Jesus knew that to be truly be present with anyone, to have ears to hear our neighbors, means that we must stop judging them. And that if we stop judging them, it frees us to be compassionate to them. Henry Nouwen said, "Compassion can never coexist with judgment because judgment creates the distance, the distinction, which prevents us from really being with each other." I agree with Henry Nouwen on almost everything, and I agree with him on this, but I will say that I don't think it's an easy thing to do. I think to be human is to make judgments every day. So when I listen to the Gospels, what I hear is that we're supposed to actually transcend our natural tendencies and listen, to be available for one another as Jesus was available to everyone who needed him. We have heard a lot of rhetoric on the television lately, haven't we? And it doesn't matter which side of the argument you are on this, but we have a very famous pastor in Gainesville, Texas, Florida right now. Sorry about that. Florida. Pastor Terry, who wants to burn the Holy Quran. And I saw a report where a reporter asked him, which part of the book offends you? And he said, "Well, I haven't read it." Now, how do you listen to your brothers and sisters if you will not listen to their holy words? You know, Jesus is our example of what it means to listen. He was willing to say goodbye to self-importance so that he could listen to the cries of those around him, and so he could hear God. Sacred listening is a letting go of the self. It means letting go of our assumptions about one another, letting go of our agendas when we're listening. Sacred listening is the act of following Christ to be wholly present for someone else. And when we are present in the movement, God's movement in someone else's lives, we not only offer, but we receive compassion and mercy and empathy ourselves. I understand, I will not say that I am particularly good at this, right? Right? I'm not a listener, I'm a talker. Why do you think I do this? You have to listen to me, right? And it's not easy in our current economic and political culture. We have so much going on. But I thought about that. Hasn't it always been so? Jesus' teachings are over 2,000 years old, and the message of transformation was just as important then as it is now. The idea of listening to one another, of having ears to hear, is one of Jesus' themes. But I had an experience when I was in seminary at Iliff that really helped me understand what it means to have ears to hear. Because when I was doing my Master of Divinity, we had a deaf student who was studying to be a minister. And one of the other students, Sandy Johnson, who was a friend of mine, that for a living she taught signing. And so she was there studying to become a minister, and the school hired her to be in class to sign what the professors and teachers were saying for this student. Every single one of us were mesmerized by what she was saying. When a scripture was read, we could not take our eyes off her hands. And even though none of us knew what signing was, we didn't understand it, we really didn't need to hear the words. We were hearing the prayers and the scriptures with our eyes. To have ears to hear, to perceive, doesn't necessarily mean you have these, which is a good thing because mine are going out. I have an appointment with the audiologist. I promised. That was such a gift that we received from having a student follow God who could not hear with his ears. See, true listening is the posture of the servant. True listening requires vulnerability and humility. God's command to love one another as God loves us is to put ourselves in a place where we can die to our old selves. And when we die to our old selves, we become an open vessel. And we can hear the other's story and help listen them into existence. So don't presuppose. Just listen. Don't try to visualize any future. Just listen. Don't try to anticipate anything. Just listen. Mary Rose O'Reilly wrote, "If someone truly listens to me, my spirit begins to expand." Isn't that beautiful? My spirit begins to expand. Did you ever wonder why Jesus sent the disciples out two by two? Makes me think of the two men on the road to Emmaus, listening to one another, telling the story of what they had experienced, and Jesus was present with them in that conversation. There is one other aspect, though, of sacred hearing that I will challenge you about, and that is bearing to be heard. It is only a sacred conversation if you are also willing to tell your story. It is not sacred if you expect that someone else needs to be listened to, but you're okay. It almost gives you power over another person, doesn't it? Because you don't have to be vulnerable. You don't have to share your story. You don't need to be listened to. And yet, it is not sacred conversation unless there is risk on both sides. I would like for us to hold in the coming year the image of the treasure hidden in the field. The reign of God is like a treasure hidden in everyday life. And how much of that treasure is hidden in the stories of individual human beings who are the keepers of so much of God's story throughout history. True listening is a habit of the heart, and it requires practice. Many of you have said to me, I love that we're growing, but I don't know a lot of these people. Name tags. See, I told you I worked that in. Name tags. Our names are important. Saying someone's name out loud has power. It is sacred. I'm going to challenge you to think of things that you're not doing. Go to coffee hour. Sit with somebody you don't know. If you already go to coffee hour, sit with somebody you don't know. Come to the ice cream social today. You can watch the last half of the game when you get home, Sheldon. Walk in the crop walk in October. You walk along with people from the congregation and other congregations, and you just walk and talk. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to get to know your fellow travelers. We are going to begin two specific programs this year. We're going to figure out how to do this. One is called Dinner for Eight, where eight people who don't know each other have dinner together. Don't be scared. And the other is the Long Promise Listening Groups, where you come together one time and you get to know each other by telling a little of your story around one Bible verse. One time commitment to get to know seven other people. And you're going to learn more about those things in the coming months. I pray that we will stand together in courage to hear each other's voices and the voices of the world. We will follow the example of Christ, who taught us to listen, who revealed to us that God cares about and hears our voices. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.